Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, I am Puma. We are glad that you joined us today.
Yes.
Feels like it's been a while.
A lot has gone on.
There is a lot going on, yes.
Which is okay. It's okay. But guys, we are glad you guys have joined us back. We are in our Real Love series, which I have found super duper helpful. And, you know, honestly, Puma, can we just read these verses and review it real quick?
Yeah, where have we been or what have we been doing? We are actually in 1 Corinthians 13, and this is the love chapter, as some have labeled it, partly because the whole chapter is just about, you know, what is really love. And what's interesting is this chapter, really, when you read through it, it's almost describing a picture of Jesus. If you're going to look at Jesus and look at him in the Gospels and look at the heart of God in the Bible and what does love look like. This is sort of a picture of it. It's sort of kind of breaking it down into a bunch of bite-sized pieces, all the different kind of nuances. And I mean, you and I know this. We both have grown up in houses and siblings. And, you know, one of the issues in every household is, you know, to love each other, love the people in your house. And it is so hard interacting because all the different circumstances and dynamics, personalities and everything, it makes it hard sometimes to get along, to share, to be kind, you know, to not lie, you know, do all kinds of things. But now as adults, we got all that down pat, right?
Oh, not even close. Right? I would say I'm sure I was more aware of it, but honestly, now that I'm older, I have more things to be selfish about. I have more things that I want. And yeah, this is a constant battle to love, not love the way the world loves, but to love the way God loves, the way God calls his followers to love. Man, that's just more and more challenging every day, I think.
It is. And when we're kids, what love is and isn't, what it looks like, doesn't look like, is pretty obvious.
Right.
But as adults, it gets a little more subtle.
Yeah, there's a lot more loves, hidden loves of the heart.
Hidden ways that we don't love, but we excuse it as being okay.
Right, right.
And so, you know, this chapter, I just want to read where we've been. You know, Paul says, the beginning of chapter 13, says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." I'm just noise if I don't have love. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Which is really an interesting statement.
Yeah, you know, it is.
What is my self-worth, you know, my worth as a person? And, you know, is it all the things that I have, or is it who I am on the inside? If I don't have love, what good is all my accolades, right? "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." We can do all these sacrificial things, but with wrong intent, and it comes to nothing. So now we get to verse 4, and he starts looking at some of the kind of details, kind of taking it apart. He says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And it is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears." When I was a child, like we were all, you know, there. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I loved like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me, which is sort of what this chapter is about. Like, let's grow in maturity.
Yeah, when it comes level up.
Yeah, Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these is love. This whole chapter is about love, and the love here is the word agape, and we've talked about that some in previous podcasts. It's this kind of selfless, willing to sacrifice. It's a love that is holistic for the betterment of the other person. You know, it's not for the promotion of my own self, but the promotion of and for the benefit of those that I'm around. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shall we dive into this next part? Verse 6, you just read it here. But
I just read it. So this is, you know, we've covered a lot. We are up to verse 6. And the part is that love today, you know, that we're going to talk about, love does not delight or rejoice in evil or wrongdoing, but love rejoices in the truth. Mm-hmm. That seems self-explanatory, but I think it's sort of hard if we kind of look at it.
Yeah, love, you know, does not rejoice in evil, but delights in the truth. You know, I don't think we would ever say, yeah, I'm someone that delights in evil. I'm someone that loves just evil things. We might say that I don't always rejoice in the truth. But yeah, that this verse goes hand in hand with each other. They're not opposites. They're not even contrast. There's the same heartbeat behind both. And so let's dive into this verse, yeah?
Okay. All right, so Toria, what is rejoicing in the truth or rejoicing in wrongdoing? What's it look like?
You know, we were talking before the podcast, and it's so interesting. In my life, the first time I ever remember like rejoicing in evil, it's a really weird emotion. I mean, to me, it sticks out because it felt wrong, but also felt so right. It was a really weird combination of guilt, but also like happiness. And and I say this to my chagrin, right? This is not, again, these Tory stories do not do what I did. But I was in Awana, I was in TNT, and I remember there was this kid. We'll call him Jimmy because why not? And I guess I had like touched him or like scratched him walking by, and I was a klutz. I'm sure I did. Don't remember doing this. And Jimmy got so mad. And so I guess during game time in the gym, Jimmy walks up to me, taps me on the shoulder, turns around, and he clocks me right in the face. And I didn't see it coming. I had no idea why. He's livid mad. Jimmy is screaming and hitting me, and the leaders run over. He's like, what's going on? Jimmy's like, he scratched me. I'm like, bro, I don't, who are you? Like, I scratched you. Anyway, all that to say, I did not like Jimmy.
Again, so you two weren't like best buds then?
No. Okay. Something about, you know, a physical punch in the face and you know, whatever.
It has a way of like ruining friendships.
Yeah, that's just not you want a friend, pro tip, don't smack him in the face.
Right, Paul didn't mention this in 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah. Love doesn't punch in the face, but I'm sure that ideas there somewhere.
Right. Yeah, no. Anyway, so he was in my table at TNT, and so like it was just super odd, like awkward. I didn't like him. I don't know if he liked me. Could have been a bad day, whatever, but I definitely did not like Jimmy. And I remember there's one day in Awana that Jimmy shares, and he's like upset, and he shares with our table leader, yeah, so like I'm moving. And he started crying. He's like, I don't want to move. Mom's making me move. And he was just so distraught and hurt. And I'm just grinning. I'm like, yeah. And it was the weirdest thing. It was such a weird emotion because I was like, I'm so glad that Jimmy feels bad. And I didn't say anything, right? I mean, I just kind of like sat there. But in my heart, it is such an evil thing. I was delighting in evil. I was rejoicing in the fact that this guy, it wasn't nothing to do with justice, had nothing to do with like, you know, he should get in trouble for it. It was just, I'm glad he's hurting because I don't like him. Mm-hmm. And this is probably a couple weeks later. It wasn't like right away. And that's wrong. You know, it's so interesting. For the Jesus follower, when we are sinned against, we are on the precipice of sin ourselves because now we have to respond Christ-like. And if we don't, we're in sin. And I totally was sinful against Jimmy. It began in my heart. It wasn't even a verbalized thing. And that's awful. I did not live out 1 Corinthians 13:6. And let's talk about that, right? Because
that's a really good illustration of like delighting in evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we break, you know, this phrase down, you know, love does not rejoice or delight in evil or wrongdoing. You know, so what is that like rejoicing or delighting? The first part, you know, what is that? I mean, it could be like what you just described here, you know, or where, like in the Corinthian church, for instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul rebukes the church because there's actually incest going on in the church.
Yeah, that's wild.
And that the church seems to be not upset at this just gross, flagrant sin that's very public. and they're in a sense rejoicing or delighting or don't have a problem with it. Mm. In fact, they almost were flaunting their Christian liberty in that. Mm. That, hey, you know what? Look at how free we are. You know, God loves us. We're Christians. And, you know, this is, you know, how we, that is a rejoicing or delighting or enjoying that which is wrong. And rejoicing or delighting in wrong has many, many faces.
Mm, yeah.
You know, some of the faces could be really blatant, you know, where we have someone that we don't like and we rejoice when they get hurt.
Right, right.
We rejoice when they lose and we kind of gloat and have kind of this mocking thing. Right. You know, sometimes we are malicious. You know, we want to get revenge, right? Mm. We delight in seeing justice done our own way instead of trusting the Lord for justice. Mm. It's another way we can delight in evil. I think one of the biggest ways this goes on today is what we would call sort of the Christian liberty. I have Christian freedom movement.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, what are some of the things that go on with that?
Yeah, I mean, so going back several episodes with the whole biblical dating, I mean, Christian liberty is like, oh, well, you know what? If they fall in love with me, if I lead them on, it's not my fault because they're the ones that need to guard their heart. And in Christ, I am free to do whatever I want. If I lead them on, that's on them. That is my Christian liberty. If, you know, and I mean, just statements like in the dating world, but even not the dating world. I mean, you talk about just for in youth ministry, you know, there's a family, love this family, but they camp a lot, which is okay. But on the weekends for 3-4 months, we just don't see them. And, you know, again, nothing wrong with camping. I love camping. I think that's great. But prioritizing not God's church and celebrating that, you know, kind of like flaunting, oh yeah, we camped here, here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here all, you know, right. summer. Is celebrating something that I think is harmful for the family, but it also shows the teens that we don't see for 4 months. Like, yeah,
right. It's these actions that we do that maybe it, on the surface it doesn't seem that bad,
right.
and maybe we even have good intentions. Maybe we are just say ignorant of what is wrong, and so we're just enjoying something that's wrong, and we don't even realize it, and the harm that it's doing to other people. See, this whole chapter, it's love. On how to love others, and specifically those closest to us, right? It's talking about the church family,
right.
And our families,
the relationships,
right? Those closest relationships, and how to really love them. And so, when I am enjoying sin or endorsing something that God says is wrong, or I'm promoting something God says is wrong, I'm in a sense delighting in that and not in the truth,
right?
Right? And why is this unloving? Is because my delight in that has an impact on other people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just us, like your illustration, you know, when the whole family is removed from, say, the family of God or the community where they can be encouraged. And you're also really encouraging wrong patterns of thinking about the value of the
right.
church and about
right.
Priorities, what's most important in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we both work in youth ministry, you know, students who are in different activities that take them and the family away from the, you know, church for months and months, whether it's,
right.
you know, sports or other things. And I'm the first one to say, I love sports, right? I mean,
right.
This is my deal. and how tempting it would be for me, you know, every weekend to be traveling and playing ball growing up. I mean, that was my idol.
Mm.
It really was my idol. My parents loved me though and said, no, our family and the church is a higher priority.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were rejoicing in the truth of that, what the God says is true and right. You know, that the church is a high value. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to prioritize that as a family. And so my parents modeled that for me. You know, they did that, and I'm glad that they did, you know, because they were teaching me how to love in a way mm-hmm. that Jesus loves, how to love truly, you know?
Yeah. Well, and delighting in evil is, it's not just like, oh yeah, let's, you know, this big, bad thing, let's celebrate that. You're right. It could be much more subtle. And Proverbs is very clear. God loves the truth. He hates lies. You know, what are, you know, 7 things that God hates? I mean, we know that God loves the truth. So for us to delight in evil is to delight in not truth. It is to delight and to endorse and to support sinful behavior. And a lot of times, you're right, it's more subtle. We can have great intentions, but if our actions indicate that we actually prioritize something other than God and put that first and we model that for our family, we are delighted in, quote, evil, but it really is just sin. And I think a lot of Christians that I've talked to, even myself, I wouldn't say I delight in evil, but actually I do. I mean, I prioritize things. I endorse things that maybe I shouldn't, especially as a pastor.
Right. Well, and this is where this whole idea of liberty, mm-hmm. right? So we have like, you know, people out there today, you know, public, you know, Christian figures, you know, the cussing pastor, right? Or all these things. I think for me, what is helpful in thinking about this is because people get triggered by all kinds of things today, mm-hmm. right? And I can't stop somebody from being offended that I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, right? I mean, that's
right,
right? Or I'm a Cubs fan, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I can stop someone if they hate the Cubs, right? If they're a St. Louis Cardinal fan, sorry out there if that's true of you. But I mean, we can easily get triggered by those things. I don't mm-hmm. think that's what he's talking about. But when I am not concerned about how my actions mm. and my choices and my liberties are going to impact those around me, mm. then I'm rejoicing in evil, not rejoicing in truth. Yeah. And I think that's really part of the litmus test is as mm. I live my life, you know, before God, you know, walking with Jesus in a community of people who profess faith in Jesus, in my own family, in my neighborhood, mm. wherever, if I don't care about how my choices, my words, my actions, my attitudes impact those around me, then I'm not walking in love. Mm. I'm actually rejoicing in self-centeredness, which is yeah. rejoicing in wrongdoing. I'm rejoicing in my rights over someone else, you know, mm-hmm. caring about someone else, which is rejoicing in wrongdoing. Right. You know, not rejoicing in the truth. And so this is where I think the whole Christian liberty thing comes into play. Mm-hmm. I can't stop someone from being irritated at something I say, mm-hmm. but if I'm intentionally not concerned about their heart or, you know, so the things that I watch, the things I listen to, the things that right. I say, the places that I go, mm-hmm. right? How I dress, all these things, you know, I'm accountable to God for these things.
Right.
But if my concern isn't how I'm going to impact others, then I'm rejoicing in evil, not rejoicing in the truth. Yeah.
Well, and that's such a good point too. You know, what are things that we rejoice in? You know, to rejoice in the truth, I mean, Jesus spoke truth. And that really hurt people. And very few people rejoice when Jesus corrected them. Yeah, at least when I think of the Pharisees, I don't think I ever responded well, you know?
Well, and Proverbs says this, you know, that a wise person accepts rebuke, right? Mm-hmm. Someone that desires to grow, you know, like wounds from a friend are better than kisses of an enemy. You know, if the people that truly love me are willing to speak truth into my life, mm. and I accept that, how great is that we can grow mm-hmm. together? Mm-hmm. Truth always doesn't have to be harsh, though, right? I mean, it's you know, that, hey, we should all be grateful here. Yeah, let's be grateful. This is, mm-hmm. you know, like gratitude or, you know, to celebrate, godly wins and victories together. I mean, you know, we can rejoice about all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But again, here, the whole focus is how I live my life in light of those around me. And am I thinking mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. my life in relationship to them?
Right.
You know, so, I mean, this gets into private stuff too, but the context here is public, right? I mean, if I rejoice privately in evil things, mm-hmm. you know, like personal sins, I mean, obviously the Bible says these things are wrong, mm-hmm. you know, not rejoicing in truth.
Right.
But those private things manifest themselves publicly in how we treat people. Mm-hmm. And this is where the context of 1 Corinthians is focused on how we're treating other people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think too, rejoicing in the truth, it's celebrating, but it's also supporting. You know, I mean, do we champion truth? And truth and love should go together, right? I mean, some people can separate them, but I mean, biblically, again, real love, and Paul's very clear, right? You get this voice of angels and, you know, all these right. different things. If you don't love, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So when we speak truth, you know, it absolutely should be loving. And I think one of the biggest, for me, red flags, am I really rejoicing in the truth? Is if I make excuses, I'm probably not. When someone says something to me, hey, Tori, you know, how come you didn't do this, this, and this? Even if they don't say it in love, if my first response and reaction is to defend myself, to make an excuse, maybe I'm not really rejoicing in the truth. Now, not all accusations are true, but something that's helpful to me is if I make an excuse, maybe I'm not rejoicing in the truth. And so for all of us out there, for myself, you know, pay attention to the tension of your excuses. A lot of times if I am told something that's true and I don't want to hear it, I find a reason. It's really an excuse. I call it a reason, but I make an excuse.
Yeah.
And so maybe that could help some of us out there.
No, that's good. You know, the second part, and we could spend like 10 podcasts on this, you know, on just what is truth. Mm. What is truth, you know, all over God's word here. But when he says, does not delight in evil or wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. You know, the Bible says that the gospel is truth, that Jesus is truth, right?
Yeah.
God's word is truth. God himself is truth. I mean, so do I delight in the character and nature of God? Do I take great delight in obeying and following and trusting God's word? Do I take, you know, great delight in value in Jesus and championing, you know, Jesus? Yeah. I mean, these are, do I have great delight in the gospel, you know, that, you know, though I'm a sinner by nature, by choice, Jesus gave his life for me and my trust and faith in Jesus. He's rescued me. So do I delight in these things? And so, you know, to love somebody, to not rejoice in what is wrong or sinful, but to champion that which, you know, exalts Jesus, which, you know, highlights and helps people obey God's word, who, you know, sees the gospel as the treasure that it is. See, this is delighting in things that are true.
Right.
And so when we are loving the way Jesus loves, we are walking in truth and delighting in truth.
No, that's good, Puma. Yeah. And when I think about this, you know, an application question, what's a good AQ? Because I think for the Jesus follower, most of us probably would be like, yeah, of course I want to rejoice in the truth and I don't want to delight in evil. But, you know, maybe outside of excuses, like, so how can I live more Christ-like in light of this verse?
Well, one of the things, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is just our reactions, you know, to things, you know, our responses. What gets me excited? You know, what gets you excited? You know, what do we value in interactions with people? Are we seeking our own agenda? Or are we concerned about how my life impacts the person around me? You know, you had, I think, a good application of this when we were talking earlier, you know, as far as like the emotions. You want to share that?
Sure, yeah. And very similar to what you said, what are we quickest to respond and react to? You know, what gets us emotionally excited or angry? You know, I think a lot of us oftentimes, when we are passionate, when we desire, when we love something, we don't have to force emotion. And I would say love and hate are the same side of the coin because, you know, again, if someone smacks Emily, I'm going to be really mad because I love her. And so I would say, you know, anger reveals what we love, right? And so in life, you know, what are you quickest to respond to and why? You know, do you get excited when you're, you know, I know we're coming off a political season here, but are you excited when the other political party fails and their hero trips on the stairs? Or, you know, I mean, do we delight in those things? Do we get excited? Do we make fun of? Or do we defend? Do we get, oh, wow, yeah, I get really excited when my boss yells at my coworker because then I look better. I mean, do we react and respond in a way emotionally to where we feel vindicated or justified? What we respond to with emotion, good or bad, will often tell us what we focus on, what we love. And when someone swears in a TV show, I don't like it. But when they use Jesus and misuse his name, that really triggers me. And I really like, why does that bother me? Like, oh, well, I mean, you can say, you know, a curse word, but when you assault my Lord and Savior, that triggers me. And I think if we pay attention to what triggers and what excites us, we can probably tell if we really look into our why did that reaction happened in me, that can maybe tell us a little bit about what we love.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Well, thank you, Puma. And thank you, guys. You know, this podcast is such a funny thing. It's exciting to me to know that there are people still in this world that want to know truth. And I think working in ministry, and you probably all can relate if we have any time, you know, in ministry or serving, there are a lot of people who like to complain rather than seek. I'd rather complain about the truth I'm not getting than actually search for it myself. For me, this podcast is an encouragement. Puma, you're awesome. I really like doing this with you. But knowing that God's given us a platform and that there are still people that are seeking truth with me, right? That's awesome. And so thank you guys for joining us as we seek to love, not the way we want to love, not the way the world wants to love, but real love, God's love. Let's love like that and let's seek him together. So thank you guys for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, not complaints, but if you have,
if you've been triggered,
yeah, right. If you react either way, good or bad, to this podcast, you can email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We really would love to hear from you guys and appreciate the feedback. And yeah, thank you guys so much. Have a great Thanksgiving and we'll see you in 2 Fridays at 10:10. Yep. Till then, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.